What's up, sunshine? Rise up. I'm Coy, and today on CNN 10, we have passengers stuck on a cruise ship, finally home after weeks stranded at sea, students getting a harsh reminder that even homework isn't safe from hackers. We'll even see if some of us here at CNN are fit enough for the presidential fitness test. Lots to get to. Let's lock in and get this show on the road. We do start with an update on that cruise ship at the center of the deadly hantavirus outbreak. Dozens of quarantine passengers and crew members aboard the MV Hondius, who were stranded at sea for more than a month, were finally able to leave the ship this weekend after it docked at Spain's Canary Islands. Spanish health officials conducted extensive screenings before evacuating the occupants. 17 Americans and one British national living in the U.S. have arrived at one of the most advanced infectious disease facilities in the country, a specialized quarantine facility at the University of Nebraska, where they'll be treated and monitored in negative pressure rooms designed to help stop any potential spread of viruses. At least one of those passengers has tested positive for the virus. Another has shown mild symptoms. French officials say one passenger from France tested positive and is receiving treatment in a specialized hospital as well. So far, three people have died and a handful more have been infected since the ship left Argentina last month as part of a transatlantic cruise. Hantavirus typically spreads to humans via contact with rodent droppings or urine. And while this strain, the Andes strain, can spread via human-to-human contact in rare cases, officials are stressing that it does not pose a major threat to the public.
And let me be clear. Let me be crystal clear. The risk of hantavirus to the general public remains very, very low. The Andes variant of this virus does not spread easily, and it requires prolonged close contact with someone who is already symptomatic. Even so, we have taken this situation very seriously from the very start.
Final exams are right around the corner and probably stress levels are rising, and then comes this digital disaster that no student wanted to see. Canvas, the online educational platform used by thousands of schools for assignments, grades, quizzes, and teacher communication, was hit by a cyber attack last week. The outage left students and teachers temporarily locked out of important coursework during one of the busiest academic stretches of the year. Schools scrambled for backup plans, tech teams raced to restore systems and investigate this breach. Our Sherelle Hubbard explains how campuses nationwide were impacted by the crash at crunch time.
You're kind of like, what the heck is happening? As a senior graduating, you're really unsure of, like, I thought I was done.
UMass senior Sean Belton said he thought he'd finished his coursework. That's until he received an email about the Canvas data breach.
All of a sudden, finals are moved until Monday.
The widely used cloud-based learning hub has more than 30 million active users worldwide and over 8,000 institutional customers, including Georgetown, Harvard, and Columbia Universities.
All my classes are on Canvas, so anything from assignments to announcements to homework to grades, it's on Canvas. We do use other software, but sometimes they're also attached to Canvas.
Thursday, while scores of students and teachers were cut off from essential classroom materials, one student jokingly made a plea directly to hackers to let her download study materials.
To the people that hack Canvas, if y'all can unhack it for like 5 minutes. At best, 2 minutes is all I need.
Some schools reported a ransom note on their Canvas homepages. The hacking group, Shiny Hunters, claimed responsibility, saying it had stolen the data of 275 million individuals and demanded ransoms to prevent data leaks. Instructure, the parent company behind Canvas, said Friday it shut down accounts exploited by an unauthorized actor. It's reportedly the second breach of Instructure's Canvas platform this month by the same hacking group.
I think that the teachers will be going back to using pencil and paper.
Pop quiz hot shot. Which large muscle group is located on the front of the thigh? Trapezius, quadriceps, hamstrings, or deltoids? If you said quadriceps, you better work. The quadriceps help control both jumping and landing. Sometimes your quads work the hardest while slowing your body down. The presidential fitness test is officially back. U.S. President Donald Trump has reinstated the school fitness program, first introduced in the 1950s, before it was replaced in 2012 when it pivoted to a program that minimized competition against other students. Now the push-ups, the sit-ups, the one-mile run, etc., they're back, so you may have to be there for your peers to cheer them on sometime soon. A few of us here at CNN found out if we could keep up.
The presidential fitness test is back.
And that means it's a bad day to work at CNN.
We decided to test our journalists to see at what age we could pass it, and it didn't go well.
I hate cardio.
All right, that's it.
Eight.
Uh-oh.
There are three categories, core and abdominal strength.
Come on, you can beat a 17-year-old boy.
Go to my happy place.
I need anybody holding my feet, though. Those were legit sit-ups.
You have to do how many?
57 in 1 minute. I stopped counting. I hope you're counting.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
He was done anyways.
Then there's cardio to see how fast you can run a mile in.
8 minutes a mile. I'll be doing just as well as a 17 and up girl.
Believe the heavy breathing. I'm not a runner. Oh, no, an 18-wheeler.
You have to do a mile in under 7 minutes.
You're already out?
And finally, there's upper body strength to see how many push-ups you can do in a row or how many pull-ups.
Oh.
How many?
That was 13.
You're going to try to bang out 53?
Yeah.
48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53.
Yay! I would have qualified as a 17-year-old with my pull-ups, but I would have needed to have been 10 years old to qualify with that mile time. I'm going to go print off the award myself and put it on my desk proudly.
This would have been a lot easier when we were 17.
Yeah, I think so.
This next story proves that innovation doesn't always come from giant labs. Sometimes it comes from a high school classroom with a whole lot of heart. Four seniors in Silver Lake, Kansas teamed up with physics teacher Kimberly Yell to create a device aimed at helping people living with Parkinson's disease, including Yell's own dad. Parkinson's is a neurological disorder that can cause involuntary tremors and movement challenges. Miss Yell, she found the perfect lab partners. The students spent their final semester developing a glove equipped with vibrating coins that stimulate nerve endings in the fingertips. Vibration therapy has been shown to temporarily reduce tremors in Parkinson's patients, but creating a wearable version that actually worked, well, that was the challenge. This group was determined and kept plowing through challenges. They named their project Grit.
Are you a dog person or a cat person? In East Asia, more people are on Team Cat. A recent government survey in Taiwan found that the number of pet cats has surpassed dogs for the first time. The same thing happened in Japan a decade ago and in China in 2021. Even in places where dogs are still more common, like here in Hong Kong, cats are growing in popularity. So what's driving the trend? Dense cities with young people flocking to urban centers. They're working busy jobs and living in cramped apartments, conditions better suited for cat ownership. But they're also lonely. Young Asians are dating and marrying less and having fewer kids. If you're living in a single-person household, you might want a little furry friend. So at least for Meow, in East Asia, cats are coming out on top.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, proof that creativity doesn't come with an expiration date. We're drawing inspiration from 99-year-old woman who is now the featured artist at a gallery exhibit in Missouri. Nita Drought says she didn't even realize she could draw until she was 70 years old. Never too late to chase something that moves you. The past few decades, she's created hundreds of graphite portraits of everyday people she finds fascinating. And now, while receiving hospice care, her nurses decided her drawings deserved a bigger audience, and the Parkville Frame Gallery agreed.
You can't know, really, how satisfying that is that you're doing something that people like.
All right, tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday, so submit those unique vocabulary words and definitions to the comment section of our latest posts at CNN10, at KoiWire on Instagram, and we'll choose one winner to work into tomorrow's show. So bring it. We have a shout-out going to Dr. Beck at Robert C. Byrd High School in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Rise up, one of your sophomores, says you have changed the way he views history class. That is epic stuff. And shout-out going to Mrs. Curlis and friends at Highland Middle School in Highland, New York, sending a CNN 10 wiffle ball bat. Emmett, you knocked this one out of the park. Let's go. Thank you for watching us on Tuesdays, or as you say, news on the twos. I like that. Thanks to all of you who have been subscribing to our CNN 10 YouTube channel. There's no momentum like momentum, so make it an awesome day. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.